First of all, Corey does, he rates everybody on the siren. You do a great job with that. You have been harsh on people before. You suffer no fools with the siren. I don't know who's whining the siren tonight. What did you give Skylar Brindamore for the overtime siren of game five against the Devils?
I think I did an A, I think, if I remember correctly. It wasn't an A plus, smart. But it was an A. Yeah. No, I'm not scared.
Move on your part.
I'm not scared. Well, the only time I lay back a bit is if we have like an octogenarian up there.
Okay.
And I'm just like, well,
you're great, you know, great on a curve in that case.
You're a little bit on a curve, or you just accidentally, oh, I didn't see it, and then you move on.
Have you ever done it?
The siren?
Yes.
No. And Chris Greeley was giving me a little grief because I gave somebody a pretty poor grade, and he's like, I think we found our next volunteer there to you do go. The sirens.
It's so. Hard.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It is a grind. Ryan, have you ever done the siren?
I've never done the siren.
No?
Well, they always say those who can't judge so far.
All right, exactly. Let's get to this. I'm going to try and stay away from the cliches, the storylines of the Stahl family, and the coaching, Rod Brindamore and the Paul Maurice relationship, because I don't think it impacts the series, but I do think one of the Stahl brothers will impact the series. So let me start with Corey. Jordan Stahl, who's Rod sick him on tonight? And he's got not two new line mates, but one new line mate, because Natchez has been there for the better part, I think, for the entire playoffs. And Teuvo Teravainen is going to be there tonight. So who does Jordan go after?
Well, I think he's probably going to be on Matthew Tkachuk watch. If I had to guess, I think that'll probably be the way they go with that. But, because I think they'll want to go Aho against Barkov. So but they could go the other way. And the good news is you have two defense pairings that even if you don't get the exact matchup you want all the time, you're going to have a great defense pairing going against them. So to me, that's the best guess. But yeah, Jordo's a load to deal with. So
I'm going to maybe disagree with you, but direct it to Ryan. What about playing Jordan against the Barkov line, as opposed to, because I don't think Barkov and Tkachuk are playing together, isn't it, Bennett? It's Bennett centering Tkachuk. Maybe put Kokkaniemi against Bennett and Tkachuk with Martinook and Faust.
That could be a good M plan. I mean, a lot of times during the regular season, we've seen Stahl and Barkov matchup. You get the two big bodies, defensive centermen, kind of banging at each other. And a lot of the time, Stahl wins those battles. A lot of the time, Barkov kind of struggles against Jordan Stahl. So that's a move that, you know, could be in Breno's pocket, knowing that Jordan Stahl does win that matchup. And if he's got offensive-minded guys like Teravainen and Natchez with it, that can be a kind of a benefit to them to kind of neutralize that line.
All right, let's talk about Teravainen and Ryan. You start. We haven't seen Teuvo. It's actually just less than 4 weeks since the surgery.
Tomorrow.
Because I think tomorrow was the four-week anniversary of the surgery. You know, knock on wood, everything is okay, that he survives all of this, because they're going to come after him. Thoughts on Teravainen coming back and playing in the spot in the lineup that he is?
I think it works out really well because, you know, we've seen throughout the season Stahl plays with, you know, Faust and Martinook, who defensively minded. And, you know, Brendamore will always talk about how smart Teuvo is defensively, how good he is defensively. You know, we all talk about his passing, which is elite. We all talk about that. But defensively, he's probably one of the best forwards on the team. So he will go a long way and helping to neutralize one of those two top Florida lines.
And the penalty kill can certainly use some help, Corey.
Yeah, they've been terrible, haven't they? Yeah, I mean, you know, and it does actually give you a little boost offensively, too. Now, you know, him with Martin Natchez gives you an opportunity to maybe create a little more offense out of that line. So that's a big thing. You know, Jack Drury did a good job in that role, but hasn't really produced a lot of offense much this year at all. So getting Teuvo there, even if he's limited in shooting, we know he doesn't really love to do that anyway. So,
well, he said what a week ago. He goes, "I'll be a passer anyway. That's what I do."
Yeah,
he leans into that. But in all of my conversations with Tripp Tracy, he always says the same thing about Teuvo. He becomes more of a threat when he establishes the shot. Are you at all concerned about Teuvo and shooting the puck?
I mean, in watching him, he seemed totally fine. Now,
okay,
you look at his thumb and it looks like a English breakfast sausage, so maybe that changes things a little bit. But in watching him, I thought everything looked fine, and I'm sure there's going to be a big needle involved at some point or something to minimize any pain he might have, and you just go from there. I think, you know, instinct takes over at that point, and he's not the kind of, he'd rather be doing this than skating with Jeff Daniels, So I think he's right. I think he's going to do everything he can to make sure he's useful in the lineup.
So in, it's almost selfish in a way that Teemu Teravainen is coming back. Ryan, give me a player or a matchup that you think is key to Carolina winning the series.
I think Kokkaniemi's line. I think he's going to play such a big role because Carolina has used him to be a defensive guy to match up against lines. When Stahl, like in the New Jersey series, he was going against the Heischer line. He was the one trying to neutralize and slow down that second top line. I think his line will go a long way if whoever Stahl gets it, whether it's Tkachuk or Barkov, that Kokkaniemi line is going to have a real handful trying to slow down that other line. I think that'll come down to a big part of it.
I know Kokkaniemi has, like, the offense goes. And he certainly has some puck management decisions that I think are head-scratchers at times. But, I mean, in terms of developing as a defensive player, it's been pretty good, Corey.
Yeah, I think he's really blossomed, especially as we've gone down the stretch here. And, you know, the ability to take Jordan Martinook and Jesper Fast and put them on that wing, all of a sudden you've created a great checking line because you have these two wingers who are really good. And then Kokkaniemi is a good defensive player. And that's so important. And then to your point about Teuvo, if Kokkaniemi shoots the puck, elite shot.
Right.
And I think he's probably, Teuvo's their best passer, I think. And Aho's certainly good too. But if you look at east-west passes, nobody sees the ice better, finding a guy who's on the other end of the ice than Kokkaniemi. So that's something to keep an eye on. Not playing with the most offensive guys, although second round Jordan Martinook was like...
and Jesper Fast, who is tied for the team lead in goals with 5.
Yeah, and he scores every which way but loose, right? So he's shorthanded, power play, empty net, it doesn't matter.
Do we know exactly what that shot hit? Because it was a Kokkaniemi shot in overtime. It looked like it went off his pants or through his pants. Was it a
was it a
Jesper goal?
Off the hand or stick, and then off the family jewels.
I thought it was.
Yeah,
I mean, it's all right to say it was a crotch goal. I mean, we can use that. That's Corey Lavallette, Ryan Hinkle joining us here. We're at PNC Arena, Canes and Panthers game one. Before I ask you a couple of questions about the Panthers, sometimes we kind of lose sight of everything. But doesn't Carolina's success in this series in a way come down to the way Aho, Jarvis, and Nason get on the score sheet? At home, it almost looks like it's tailor-made for Rod to send that line out against the bottom two lines for Florida, because you think he's going to use Stahl and Kokkaniemi lines as matchup for Florida's top two based on the personnel on those two lines, that even though Aho is a great defender and Jarvis is really, I think, establishing himself, to me, it's about them scoring, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's really important. Part of me wonders if, and you know, we've kicked around Kokkaniemi maybe checking one of those lines, but Aho's almost always at his best when he's going against another team's best, which makes me wonder about the Barkov matchup. So he might be better suited to play against a line that is more offensive. Now, most coaches would, like you said, especially at home, try to get that edge and send your top guys out. We've seen it so many times in the Islanders series and in the Devils series where they try to come up over the top against Carolina's fourth line with their top guys. Rod doesn't do that. A lot of times he'll send Jordan Stahl out after an icing.
Right.
Just like, all right, that's what we're doing, I guess. So, so I think, you know, Aho often is at his best when he's playing a 200-foot game. So I wonder if they're going to try to use that as a way to keep him going. And like you said, Seth Jarvis, I think, he's really blossoming into something special. I mean, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here about what kind of player he's going to be.
What are your thoughts on Aho and Jarvis? And Nason is playing a big role.
I think it will come down to them. I think, you know, you mentioned the Florida's bottom six, but I think Florida's top nine more so than their bottom six, because that line of Anton Lundell, Sam Reinhart, Nitu Luostarinen has actually been really good for them. They've been driving play and scoring too. So I think it's a... just like Carolina, it's a top nine that you worry about rather than a bottom six. So, but I do think that Aho and Jarvis getting the score sheet will go a long way for Carolina. I think this is going to be a grindy series. I think this is going to be – I think both goaltenders have been the hottest ones in the postseason continuously with Bobrovsky and Anderson. And I think if you've got to get your top guy scoring, because depth is important, but your star scoring is also important.
Does a grindy series favor one team or the other?
I think both teams want to grind, so I'm not sure.
It's true. And it gets me to this, Corey. Florida replaced I'm going to leave Mackenzie Weegar out because most people don't know who he is. But most people who are hockey fans know who Jonathan Huberdeau is. And they all know who Matthew Tkachuk is. He's a finalist for the Hart Trophy, the MVP of the league. So basically that was a flip. And they play different games. Tkachuk is a much meaner, nastier, heavier power forward. Huberdeau is a more, a free-flowing skater. So they made that change because this is better for the playoffs for them. But they also changed the head coach. Andrew Burnett out, who did a great job last year, taking over Joel Quenneville. But our old friend Paul Maurice and that more buttoned-down, defensive-minded, kind of in-your-face defensive hockey, that element, it took a while, but this is a very different team than Florida was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the thing that's going to really dictate this series is which team is going to be able to use their offense to have to limit the amount of defense they have to play. The Hurricanes are in better shape on defense. If they get stuck in their own end, you feel a little better about their six guys getting the puck out. You look back at the Panthers defense, and all of a sudden, you know, Mark Stahl is not the Mark Stahl who was he was, you know, 15 years ago. Radko Gudas is a good player, but he's not the best guy with the puck on his stick in his own end. So they're, you know, Brandon Montour's had a great year. I mean,
tremendous.
Really, and Gustav Forsling's had a great couple of seasons, a guy who had a cup of coffee here in the preseason.
Right.
So it comes down to that a lot is, you know, obviously Florida plays a little tighter than they did last year. Last year was like, go, 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 go. And that really benefited guys like Anthony Duclair who can fly. And they're still going to do that. But like Paul said the other day, instead of playing like that at 200 feet, we're going to play that at 100 feet. We're not going to do it all the way down the ice. We're not going to be like, go, 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 go. So I think that, you know, that'll be noticeable. And they've got, you know, Aaron Ekblad's a great defensive defenseman. You know, first overall pick and all that. So a lot of talent there. So, you know, we'll see what they can do. But to me, it really comes down is can those defenses turn around and get their team going the other way. We see Jacob Slavin do it over and over and over and over again. And certainly the other guys back there, too.
Is it unfair to compare anybody to Jacob Slavin, right?
I mean, Brendan Moore said it himself. We're not sure if we've seen a better defenseman play the position the way he does. Just defensively, he's just IQ off the charts, talent off the charts, hand eye off the charts. He just doesn't make mistakes, despite what Slavin might want to say he does.
Sure.
We just don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody makes them, right? So sometimes your clear doesn't get out of the zone. Sometimes your pass is just a little bit off, but he doesn't make a lot of them. and when there are mistakes, he has the ability to erase them. I go back to the goal that tied the game against the Devils. Was it game four?
Mm-hmm.
In game four. Mm-hmm.
End of the first period.
Where he stole the puck from Michael McLeod, and Michael McLeod didn't even know the puck was gone. He took it. It was, if you guys see Ocean's 11, the remake, when Matt Damon's character pickpockets the guy, doesn't even know his wallet's missing. Michael McLeod was skating with the puck he did not have. And then Slavin gets to Martinuk, who gets to Natchez, and that tying goal, I think, all of it, just a giant exhale. All right, Ryan, Canes in how many?
Canes in six.
Okay, that would be nice, winning it in Florida. It's taking me back to 09. Corey, Canes in how many?
He wants to send me on the one-day trip back to Florida. I think Canes in six is probably a pretty good guess.
Canes in six?
Yeah, it's going to come down. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to goaltending. I mean, we can talk about everybody else in front of them. Unless both of those goalies are great or both are terrible. I think it's going to come down to which goalie plays better. And Sergei Bobrovsky has been a little more up and down than Frederik Andersen throughout his career. His ups are higher than Frederik Andersen's, I'd say.
Right.
But his downs are much lower.
Bobrovsky, this is year four in Florida. He, right now, this is the first time he's been a $10 million goalie. Right now, the last 2 weeks. Other than that, I mean, they've been looking for excuses to not play. Alex Lyon played the last seven games of the regular season and started the first three of the playoffs. So they've been looking for reasons to not play Sergei Bobrovsky. If Spencer Knight wasn't going through so many personal issues, we might see Spencer Knight in this series as opposed to Sergei Bobrovsky. All right, Ryan, how many starts for Antti Raanta in this series?
I don't know. I would say zero, okay. Stranded unless Ryan Lomberg runs a goaltender again like last year.
Corey, how many starts for Antti Raanta?
I think you run with Freddie. You brought him here to be your number one goalie. Nice insurance policy. They have two nice insurance policies back there. Something that I don't think Florida has. You know, we talked about Alex Lyon, and he had a really good end of the season. But
yeah,
I don't know that that's necessarily sitting there in his back pocket to pull out whenever they need it. So the Hurricanes are lucky that they have options. But I think you brought Freddie here to be your number one goalie. You ride Freddie as long as he's healthy.
All right, my official prediction, the same thing I'd said before the New Jersey series, Canes in three. It's going to be a long series, folks. That's Corey Lavallette. Right next to me is Ryan Henkel. North State Journal and The Athletic, Canes Country and North State Journal. Anything else? No? This man about town.